This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. This is a show about opening up the often mysterious world of how doctors think. The goal? To empower the listener to gain access to the best healthcare possible.
Well, good day and welcome to Medicine Talk. This is Dr. Paul Anderson, and we're coming to you from Seattle, Washington today. Our topic today is low energy, and specifically the diagnoses of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. In our discussion today, we want to talk about this topic partly because it's been an area I've been very deeply involved with clinically, with patients for about 20 years or more at this point. It's a very sometimes complicated area of medicine because it isn't one of those problems where you have one cause normally. And so what I want to do today is talk about the idea of fatigue and pain as a global idea, and what that means and what it means to your doctor when you tell them that you have fatigue or pain or you're just not feeling really good. And then see what the doctor is thinking about when you tell them that you have fatigue and pain, and then move on to, well, what do we do when we don't get any answers because we don't have certain problems but we still don't feel well? And one of the things that that we talked about in a show a couple weeks ago is the difference between a diagnosed illness, say something like pneumonia or a fractured arm or something. Those are pretty clear diagnoses. They're clear pathologies. They have really generally clear reasons for being and what we're going to do about them as doctors and how you're going to heal or how long it's going to take. When you get to things that are symptomatic, you get into trouble because fatigue, for instance, is not a diagnosis. Fatigue is a symptom or sometimes a sign that you present with. The same with pain. Pain is not a diagnosis. Pain is a symptom that you're having. And so these things then lead to an investigation to figure out what in the world they're doing and why they exist. So one of the things that we just want to think about is big picture. You tell your doctor, man, I am so tired. I'm fatigued. I haven't felt good. What do the doctors start thinking? So in the world of medicine, you have to think about things from both the top down and the bottom up at the same time sometimes. And with fatigue, the first thing you have to think about is, well, is there a deadly reason for fatigue? And you think about it and you think, well, everyone, you know, gets tired and doesn't feel well and that kind of thing. What could be a deadly reason for fatigue? Well, one of the things that we have to be very careful with when dealing with people when their primary complaint is fatigue is that sometimes fatigue might mean something that could potentially shorten a person's life, such as cancer can present with fatigue. And many of us, you know, have heard that, but some people may not have realized that the same symptoms that would cross over with fatigue and maybe chronic fatigue type syndrome could be trying to tell you and your doctor that, you know, there's maybe a cancer process going on in your body. And that's a very important thing to, of course, find out about and not treat it like something else. Other things that could be serious problems, sometimes people will have internal issues like digestive system bleeding or polyps or something like that, and they'll be losing blood but they won't see it because it's inside of their system, and because the loss of blood causes them to get more and more anemic, they become fatigued but they don't feel differently. And you would think, you know, if you were bleeding inside your digestive system, you would know it, and that would not be a mysterious problem. But many times there are bleeding situations that have gone so long in people that the body is accustomed to it. And so that would be one where maybe you won't die from that because it's usually fixable problems, but it would certainly make you very, very ill. And so you don't want to go blaming you know, your fatigue on chronic fatigue when you have, you know, an internal digestive system bleeding problem, or, you know, you're severely losing blood. Other things, of course, that might cause fatigue or fatigue and pain could be inflammatory problems that are sort of running your system down and taking the energy out of your system. Sometimes we see this with people who have had a chronic infection so long that they are, you know, their body is just adjusted to it, and they don't realize how much energy is being removed by this this thing that the immune system is fighting with. It's very, very important that those things are looked into as well. And there's other things, of course, that can create a fatigue state within somebody. And the important part is that first you want to have the problem worked up, and you want to make sure you don't have any of these bad things. And then you want to figure out what you can do about what's left as far as the causes and potential treatments then for your fatigue go. So basically what your doctor thinks of is, okay, well, you know, you do physical exam on the person, see if there's anything, you know, that doesn't feel right. Or, you know, sometimes in people who are having these digestive system bleeding things, their abdomen will be tender, and they may not even notice it. You know, sometimes in a patient, say, for instance, who unfortunately has cancer, on the physical exam, you may see that they've lost weight, and they don't know why. They, you know, they haven't changed their diet. There's no reason for it. And you might see other things, you know, like, you know, lymph nodes that are swollen or something of that nature. So you first have to start looking at the whole person, see what's going on. And then if all of that either gives you some indications or not, there's really a couple of directions things go. First, if there's any concern at all about internal problems, either you'll probably go see a specialist like a gastroenterologist. They may do an internal scoping procedure, check things out. There may be some imaging done, you know, to see inside, and that's often done. Then your primary care doctor is generally going to run a series of tests, and the series of tests are aimed at catching, so to speak, any of the major problems that might be at issue. For instance, if you complain that you've been having a lot of recurrent sore throats and you're tired and there's these other things going on, in addition to the standard tests, which would include a blood count to look at your white blood cells and what they are doing, that can tell us whether you're having an acute infection and sometimes what kind it is or that sort of thing. Also looking in the blood count at your red blood cells and whether you're showing signs of anemia or excessive amounts of blood cells, that can be all telling for us. Usually along the lines of a fatigue workup, you'll also look at iron studies. So beyond the red blood cells, they'll look at how much iron is in your system, and looking for, of course, anemia. And remember, anemia can come from a lot of different reasons. Iron deficient anemia is the most common kind, but there's also some B vitamin and other metabolism problem anemias that go on with people. So you have to think about all those, and you get all that from really a couple of fairly inexpensive and broad looking tests. The other thing that we see is they'll usually do what's called a blood chemistry profile. And this is a small but important group of blood chemistry markers. These usually will look at the very least at your blood electrolytes, things like the potassium and calcium and sodium and chloride and those things, because if they're deranged, that can make you feel very, very badly. For instance, we once had a patient come in, and she had been having increasing pain and increasing fatigue and mental fogginess and all of this over the course of about a 3 to 4 month time period. And so we did this basic sort of testing and looked, and everything looked really good except that her potassium was dangerously low. And low potassium is a potentially deadly situation, and thankfully in her case we found it soon. But what was happening was she was on a medication from another doctor, and the pharmacy had switched the medication, and the doctor thought she was on the original medication. The new medication was taking potassium out of her system, and her doctor didn't know about it. So when we saw that, we were able to get to the bottom of it and fix the problem. Well, she didn't have a deep, dark problem. She just had a problem that needed to be worked out that created this fatigue situation. So literally, these things happen every day in the primary care doctor's office. And if there's something obvious like that, your primary care doctor is going to see it and try and work on it. And we've got some people who have written in and asked some questions later, and we'll kind of illustrate that in a couple of these questions. There'll be some fun to talk about. In addition to the electrolytes, usually they'll look at global liver and kidney functions, because again, if your kidneys are stressed or diseased or your liver is having problems, that's a good reason for fatigue. And then you have to get to the bottom of what's wrong with those organs. Now, in my experience, many times, because those laboratory assessments will catch most of the big picture problems, they'll point you towards potentials for blood loss or anemias or low electrolytes or, you know, liver, kidney problems, etc. Those are kind of the go-tos. Those are the most common things done first. The other thing that your primary care doctor might do, and often in a fatigue workup, this is higher on the list, is a screening test for your thyroid function. And we've got some great questions from people who've written in about that, so we'll save thyroid function for discussion a little bit later. But that's a pretty common one, and certainly low thyroid equals low metabolism. So if you think about it, your thyroid is its job is to run your the speed of your metabolism, kind of like, you know, it's the job of the gas pedal to decide how much speed your motor puts out in your car. The thyroid is used by the body to up and down regulate your metabolic rate. So when it's slow, you gain weight, you feel cold, you feel slow, you feel tired all the time. If it's too fast, you're kind of the opposite. So thyroid problems are certainly very common and are often screened for at this stage as well. So there's lots and lots and lots of causes of fatigue, and we certainly want to work up anything that could be dangerous or deadly. So dangerous and deadly always goes first. And that's why the basic physical examination, the laboratory tests, and maybe something like a imaging picture will be done. Because then you're aiming your treatment at the correct cause. Usually where trouble comes is when all those things are totally normal, and thankfully you have no sign of cancer, you have no sign of an acute infection, you know, you have no sign of you know, internal bleeding or, you know, electrolyte problems. So that's great. No one wants any of those problems. So that's good news, but it sort of comes as a two-edged sword, because a lot of patients will wind up being told then, well, you know, there's really nothing medically wrong with you as far as the fatigue goes. Your basic minerals are looking good. You're not anemic. You don't have a thyroid problem, et cetera, et cetera. So then often what will happen is the discussion will end. Sometimes if you are persistent and those medically based tests are all normal, there's one of two things that will happen. If your doctor has more of maybe a behavioral bent, and they want to start asking you, they may start actually asking you good questions about, are you eating well? Are you eating regularly? We've checked. You don't appear to have a blood sugar problem, but, you know, are you experiencing maybe times during the day where you're going too long between meals? Are you sleeping well? Are you, you know, burning the candle at both ends? What's going on with you in your life that might be creating the fatigue? And those are really, really important questions that are often asked up front. So if the doctor then decides, oh, well, you know, you're working two jobs and you're only getting 4 hours of sleep a night, you know, again, you have sort of a logical reason maybe for your fatigue, and they may give you some advice or tell you to quit one of your jobs or something of that nature. On the other side, though, A very, very common thing in North America that I've seen with a lot of patients is if all the medical things are normal and the doctor believes that, you know, you're otherwise healthy, they often will recommend something like a SSRI-type medication or an SSNRI-type medication, which we usually think of those for depression and sometimes for central pain, but really they're also used a lot, and they'll be tried in people who have fatigue that doesn't appear to be medically of origin. Upside of that is it does work in some people. Downside is that's often not the problem that the person has. So we're headed into our first break. And what I want to do when we come out of the break then is merge the discussion over to what are these problems called chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and what creates them? How are they found? How are they misdiagnosed? And then what can we do about them? And as I mentioned, the other thing that we have today is we have some people writing in with particular questions that deal with their own medical care and their health that relate directly to chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So we'll go to break now and we'll be right back.
Anderson Medical Specialty Associates is the clinic that Dr. Anderson founded to provide high-quality, integrative medical care to those with cancer and chronic illnesses. In over 20 years of work with this patient population and research into the best practices for treatment, this clinic provides the highest level of care. Their focuses include all types of cancer, autoimmune diseases such as multiple sclerosis and lupus, as well as chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and chronic infections such as Lyme and Lyme-like illness. Their only goal is to help each person find the best path to health for their individual needs. Located in Seattle, Washington, visit the clinic website, www.amsa1.com, or call the clinic at 206-629-2186.
And welcome back. This is Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. And today our topics are fatigue and then the sometimes mysterious diagnoses of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So before the break, we were speaking about, well, what's the doctor thinking when you tell them that you're tired and you're fatigued, et cetera. And we looked at, you know, we want to rule out big bad causes of things, things that could be, you know, blood loss, electrolyte problems, kidney and liver problems, blood sugar problems, cancer. You know, a lot of bad things can cause fatigue. And if you have ever wondered how common it is for a doctor to hear that the patient is fatigued, literally hundreds of thousands of patient visits in North America alone start with a presenting complaint of fatigue. So fatigue is not really something that your doctor hasn't heard probably a bunch of times already in the same day. What we ended with was a discussion of what if those bad things are not there, and thank heaven you have no problem, you know, with you know, cancer, blood loss, you don't have diabetes, you know, there's nothing that we can see that's really wrong. Maybe you even went and got, you know, a chest x-ray, or you got some imaging, or you went and got your colonoscopy, and that's all good. So now what? I'm still fatigued. And so what we ended with was a discussion of some doctors will take this in a, what we would call maybe a environmental behavioral direction and ask you about your diet and how you're sleeping and all of those things. And that's really, really a good thing to do. The other thing that happens, though, is a lot of doctors are kind of in a real tight time frame with being able to see you. And if they see nothing that's going to kill you causing the fatigue and there's no medically diagnosable problem, they will often, if you're displaying, you know, signs of some pain and fatigue and all of that, they may, you know, diagnose you with potentially having, say, fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. And or they may say, you know, one of the more common things that helps people is this particular group of drugs. And what we said right before the break is that group of drugs tends to be the SSRI or the SSNRI drugs, which are known as antidepressants. And many of them actually have TV commercials that you've probably seen. Some of the commercials, you know, will say depression hurts or this and that and the other thing. And then there's particular drugs for fibromyalgia that are used. There's a group of drugs that are not technically antidepressants used for fibromyalgia. Some of you have heard of pregabalin, also known as Lyrica. Some people have been given things like gabapentin or Neurontin's another name for that, or trazodone or nefazodone. All of these medications are aimed at either the central part, the brain part of pain, or possibly helping with neurological balance. And, for instance, pregabalin or Lyrica is one of the first medications specifically with an indication for fibromyalgia. So a lot of doctors will be using that. And there's really, you know, there's nothing wrong with any particular medication, and I usually ask when people come in and they say, you know, I've got all these problems, and I'll say, did, you know, have you tried these different medications? They'll say yes, and the next question is, did they help? Most common answer is either yes, they did, and then 3 or 6 months in, they just kind of didn't seem to work anymore, and the doctor said they couldn't give me more or adjust the dose anymore. Or they'll say, you know, not really, or another real common one is, well, I don't know because the side effects in me did not get along well, and I actually had to go off of it. So what often happens in our Western system of medicine then is symptomatic management. So if you think about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, they're similar. They have a lot of overlaps, but they also have a lot of different things. And you can certainly look up online, you know, the characteristics of chronic fatigue syndrome versus fibromyalgia. Chronic fatigue syndrome, you need to be able to show, like we said in the first section of the show, that you have no medical reason for the fatigue, such as cancer, anemia, thyroid disorders, et cetera, et cetera. So you need that as a criteria. You need a certain amount of time where the person's been fatigued. You need certain other signs and symptoms, and then you can call it chronic fatigue syndrome. Then you have fibromyalgia, which really has a lot of fatigue, has a sleep disorder, and then there is a pain component, a chronic pain component. If you've ever seen any of the TV ads for the drug Lyrica, they have these very beautiful graphics of sort of a muscle system and then these nerves going through it with these little zapping signals going on. And that's supposed to be the, you know, the pain signals. And what they say in there, which is, you know, what are part of our understanding, well, you know, fibromyalgia is thought to be due to overactive nerves. And so I hurt all the time because my nervous system doesn't know that I shouldn't hurt. And that's largely true. The problem is that most people, when those drugs don't work, it's because there's other reasons for that pain to go on that are far beyond just the nervous system being imbalanced. So in the last 2 decades of dealing with people and researching and trying to get answers for people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, what we have seen is, as opposed to a purely symptomatic approach, and in most of, you know, Western medicine right now, you go to your doctor, you do all this, they say, all right, you have fibromyalgia, you have chronic fatigue. We're going to try this pain medicine. So there's a pain portion. We're going to give you this drug because it's going to make you sleep better. We're going to give you this other thing because it might help with some of your muscle spasms or your pain, et cetera. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of that. The problem is that it's putting symptomatic control on things that are uncontrolled for a different reason. And so if you stop there, then what happens is the classic thing where a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, and sometimes just a few months later, the drugs are still in you, you're processing all the drugs, which are hard on your system sometimes to process. But now what you have is untreated cause. So you got nothing treating the reason for the problem. All these drugs trying to control the symptoms. And what your body does when you have untreated causes is breaks through the drugs eventually and says, you know what? I'm tired for a reason. I hurt for a reason. I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to make you more tired. I'm going to make you hurt worse. I'm going to make you not sleep very well. I'm going to make you sleep all the time. I'm going to make you something. So that's the body's way of speaking to you. The language that the body uses often is not just signs and symptoms, but it's the way that it persists in symptoms. Pain is often part of the body's way of getting our attention to try and get us to do something different. You know, if the pain is because we, you know, slammed our fingers in the door, it's pretty clear what the message there is. Let's not slam our fingers in the door. But if the pain is all over your body and it's because you have not rested well for years and there's reasons for the rest problem, then that may be harder to deal with. Or if the pain is there and you believe you have a really great diet and you actually don't have a good diet, maybe that's the reason that the pain's there. And that's a little harder to access for people. So when we think about this, symptomatic treatment is fine. Symptomatic treatment is often necessary in the beginning of working with someone with these problems. But if that's where you stop, then you will, if the patient has chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, you will reach a diminishing return with your treatment. Because there's only so many drugs a person can be on for symptomatic treatment. And it's getting a little better now. In North America, what we see is doctors are being a lot more judicious about how much medication a person gets. But I've literally seen patients who have 10 plus years of chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia come in on more than 6 and sometimes more than 10 drugs, all trying to do symptomatic treatment, all failing at symptomatic treatment. And they're out of options, their doctor's out of options, everyone's frustrated. And there's a good reason for the frustration. And it's because the symptomatic treatment just isn't going to cut it with a chronic problem. So sure, we need symptomatic treatment, but we need to also think about the harder question, which is what in the world is creating all this pain and fatigue? And, you know, you can list all the other symptoms. So when we think about those things, one of the things to consider is beyond the standard medical treatment, what are the deeper causes of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia? And one of the first email messages I got to talk about today is people saw we're going to be talking about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and there's a limitless number of questions about that. It says, Dr. Anderson, I saw my doctor for fatigue that's been getting worse for the past 4 years. The fatigue started fairly low level. I thought I was just tired and needed to rest up, and it used to be that I would rest a little extra on the weekends and I would feel fine. And then I started to not recover with the weekend resting, and I didn't know what to do about this. Went to my doctor, and she said she checked all of the normal tests, and I have no medical reason for the fatigue. What does this mean? So this is a very, very common presentation that we see. And so you have a patient who's got a 4-year slow onset of the fatigue, but now it's there. It's not letting go. And in many people early on, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll say, well, you know, back in the beginning, yeah, I'd get run down, you know, but I'd take an extra day off, or I'd, you know, just sort of rest all weekend and I'd be ready to go again. No problem at all. Or I would, you know, go on vacation when I got back. I kind of reset. Things are better. Then the next year, you know, it didn't quite work that way. And now it's just every day it's worse and worse and worse. The normal tests being all fine, it's what I said in the first portion, that's great. That means you probably don't, you know, you don't have diabetes, you don't have cancer, you're not losing blood. None of those bad things are going on. So that's great. And your doctor, you know, did the right thing to do the normal tests. It sounds like from the way this person described their situation, though, that neither was the the environmental and behavioral things addressed, unless they're just leaving that out of the email, or were they given any symptomatic treatment? They were just sort of told to go home. And I do recall a long time ago, over 20 years ago, working, training in a hospital, and then in some clinics out in the community, before fibromyalgia was a recognized diagnosis by the American Academy of Rheumatology, people would come in with these symptoms, and often the doctors that I was training under would just say, well, you know, you have no medical reason for it. Either you're depressed or we don't treat things that aren't there. So I'm sorry you feel the way you do, but you don't have a medical reason for it. And that still happens. But now it's a little bit more common. Someone would at least try an antidepressant on the poor person or something. So in this lady's case here, the thing that hasn't been looked at really is the underlying causes. And here's the thing that you really need to think about, is it's really easy to get frustrated if you're in pain and tired and you're not getting answers. You get frustrated, of course, with your body, but also your doctor and probably a lot of other things. The doctors are generally doing everything that they're trained to do, which is make sure you don't have those bad things and you're not going to die. What is much harder to do, and why a visit with a patient, say in our clinic, for instance, or a clinic like ours, may take many times longer to go through, and why more investigation is done and why you may see the doctor more, is simply because in order to get to these other causes I'm going to talk to you about, you have to do more detective work. You have to look behind the diseases to the dysfunctional things. And if you listened a few weeks ago, we talked about how dysfunctional things are not recognized diseases, but they're also just plain not working correctly. And so dysfunctions, the way that we like to think about them, is a disease is like one big tall problem. And you can see that problem, and you're going to trip over it. It's not going to be sneaky, usually. A dysfunction, you can have five little problems that together add up to the same size as the one big disease problem, but they fall under the radar. They fall under the radar because our testing nowadays is very good. It's good at finding diseases. But unless you go to the next, second, or third, or fourth step, you're not going to see dysfunctional things, because screening tests are not made to find dysfunctional things. That would not be the point of screening. So the things we want to think about, that when we see a patient, they've come and they say, I don't have cancer, I don't have this, that, and the other thing, but man, I'm fatigued, or man, I've got pain, or I've been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, what are we going to do about it? They include a large group of things. And the general areas that we want to talk about, and I've got a few more people who've written in that illustrate these things. The first is, and I'm not going to say these in any particular order. I'm just going to put them out there, that these are things that are thought about beyond the screening. The first is genetic factors. And a lot of people, you know, almost get upset when you say genetic factors, because what the belief is that you can't do anything about your genetic factors. And there's some diseases that we inherit that we can't do anything about. That's not what I'm talking about. Genomic medicine, genetic medicine from a preventive point of view, now is to the point where we can look at particular variables that you inherited, and we can either help you to do things such as eating differently or taking extra of a certain nutrient or doing something which will diminish the effect of that genetic problem, or maybe even erase the effect of that genetic problem. Your genes are still having a problem, but we fill in what's missing. And the important thing about that, that's very exciting actually, is now if you can find that before you get sick, you may not develop certain illnesses. And this is a big area of medicine that I personally do a lot of research and teaching in. And the whole goal is to try and get doctors up to speed on this, because it's certainly nothing any of us learned in medical school. And so genetics is a big deal. And after the break, I'll tell you about some very exciting things we've seen with fibro and chronic fatigue there that are very proactive and helpful. The next is your digestive system. And digestive system, we ignore most of the time unless it hurts. But it's a huge predicate to you being healthy or not. The digestive system can operate, meaning things go in, things go out, and you can get almost no nutrition out of what you eat. This is also another thing that generally people, you know, doctors were not taught in medical school. It's like there's no disease, then you must have a perfect digestive system. No, that's not really the way it is. There's a lot of dysfunction in the digestive system, and we want to talk about that because it make you profoundly ill. The next group of things is the endocrine system. So hormones, your sleep-wake cycle, your circadian rhythm, all those cool things. Your anti-inflammatory hormones, very, very important. Another group is immune problems and chronic infections that are not acute, so you don't even know you have them. That is a big area of issue. Your immune system can actually be quite non-functional. And you won't even get sick because your immune system is non-functional. That's not going to make you feel very healthy. And then there's a number of other things that fit in, and they would revolve around what the old timers would call the hygienic things, you know, exercise, sleep-wake patterns, how you're thinking, are you loved, do you feel loved, you know, all of those things really do feed into how we feel as humans. And so all these big areas and a few others have to be fit into when we're thinking about these cause areas. And that's, of course, a taller order. And so right after the break, we'll want to go into some examples of how we interact with that beyond the screening tests. And we'll be right back.
Anderson Medical Specialty Associates is the clinic that Dr. Anderson founded to provide high-quality, integrative medical care to those with cancer and chronic illnesses. In over 20 years of work with this patient population and research into the best practices for treatment, this clinic provides the highest level of care. Their focuses include all types of cancer, autoimmune diseases such as multiple sclerosis and lupus, as well as chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and chronic infections such as Lyme and Lyme-like illness. Their only goal is to help each person find the best path to health for their individual needs. Located in Seattle, Washington, visit the clinic website, www.amsa1.com, or call the clinic at 206-629-2186.
And we're back with Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. Today we're talking about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and fatigue in general. And so the first part of the show today, we went through how is fatigue considered by your physician? You know, what dangerous things could it mean and what are we looking for there? And then the next part of the show was really about, okay, so I don't have a dangerous problem, but I still feel bad or I have pain and fatigue together. What in the world's that all about? And why can I go into my doctor with those things and at the very best usually come out with some advice to rest more and to take these medications to help me sleep or help me do some other things? And that really hit the symptomatic treatment approach, which is better than nothing. But what we came up with was in my 2 decades experience with these problems, it really doesn't do enough to stop the deeper issues. So what we want to talk about here, and we kind of ended the last session with, was what are the deeper things? And the concept is if I have a disease is a large object really in diagnostic medicine. And usually it can be a little murky, but once you do the basic test, the tests are there to find those diseases. That's why the tests exist. But if I have dysfunction, it's not a disease. There's no name in a pathology book for a dysfunction. And I might have 5 or 10 dysfunctions that are little, but they all gang up on me and it feels like one big disease. When we think about it, your screening tests are going to totally miss those things. And so what you have to do is read between the lines and look at the bigger picture of the person. And what we talked about right before the break was, you know, things like modifiable genetic factors, very sort of new cutting edge medicine, digestive system health, how much nutrients you're not getting or getting, all of that, very, very big deal. Your endocrine or hormonal system, which includes everything that sends signals to operate your body. So you can imagine if that's not working correctly, you're not going to feel very good. And your circadian rhythm, which is operated by the endocrine system, sleep-wake cycle. And it's not just about being unconscious at night and thinking that that's sleep. It's how deeply you're going into sleep and how well the sleep is working for you. Then we think about your immune system. The immune system is another big drain in the system where you can have these little things chipping away at you for a long time. They're harder to diagnose because they fly under the radar. But you think about it, they're sort of like a little hole in your energy bucket. And they're just draining a little bit out every day. The immune system is responsible for a lot of that. And then the final thing is these bigger picture we call them hygienic things. So the how your life is going, you know, are you able to do exercise? Can you move? Can you stretch? Are you eating and drinking the cleanest stuff you can? Are you able to get good sleep? Do you feel cared for? Do you have, you know, a supportive environment? All of those things really, really become important. And they're the most intangible things sometimes to figure out. So before the break, we had an email from one of the people who had listened and knew this topic was coming up. And here's one from another person. And this is another really common thing. And it kind of goes to, okay, we found one problem and we focused on that one problem, but I didn't get better. And here it is. It says, Dr. Anderson, I saw my doctor and I'd been complaining of fatigue for a long time. They did some tests and they said that my fatigue was because I was anemic. Okay, so anemia is one of the things we talked about at the beginning. That's really a common reason for fatigue. They treated the anemia and I'm a little bit better, but not completely. So they did some more tests and they told me that they thought my thyroid had been low. And remember, we talked before, the thyroid sort of operates the speed of metabolism. So low thyroid usually means low energy. But they did a TSH test and it was normal. What else is there? Question mark. So this is really a standard thing. The doctor says, well, the anemia could cause fatigue. They treat the anemia. They bring the, you know, the ferritin up. Your red blood cells look good. You should feel better. Well, if the only problem in your life was that you were anemic, you would feel better, but you don't. So this doctor was being responsive and said, maybe, you know, the thyroid can create these problems. We checked your thyroid 6 months ago, but maybe it's not working now. They do a TSH test and the thyroid is looking good on the TSH test. Now, what else could be wrong? Well, there's a lot of things that could be wrong here. And this is a prime example of when you need to go to the next level and start looking beyond and between the normal tests. So one of the things that's a really good example here is the anemia screening and the TSH screening. These are those tests I was telling you about that are looking for a disease. So if you're really anemic, your red blood cells will look anemic and they'll come out that way on the test, and the ferritin, the stored iron, will generally be very low. And that makes total sense. You have an iron deficiency anemia. Very, very common. The TSH test is intended to be a screening test, and the TSH is a hormone-like substance that floats around in your blood. And when that number goes higher and higher, it means your brain is asking for more thyroid, but it can't get it. So this doctor was thinking, well, you know, some people, after their anemia gets corrected, it'll be stressful on the thyroid. Maybe the thyroid's gone off the rails. And what happened here is, no, the TSH test was totally normal. Now, I would conservatively guess, I've seen this scenario in 1 or 200 people in the last few decades and maybe more. And it's sometimes true they're not anemic anymore and their thyroid is fine, but then there can be these other things that we talked about. But before we jump over to things, you know, like their genetics or like a digestive issue or, you know, other hormones, the thing that we would do is review the anemia labs, and if they are looking good, great. That's wonderful. The TSH, there are other tests for thyroid function that sometimes are used in screening and sometimes are not. If the TSH is used, that's the standard screening test. But there are tests that now, which we did not have before, these really did not exist and were not that useful in the past. We can now look at autoimmune thyroid problems. We can look at deficits in the metabolism of thyroid, because thyroid is not just one hormone, and you need the active version of one of the thyroid hormones in order to have an active thyroid. And so your TSH can look normal, but there can be other interfering things. Very common in chronic fatigue and fibroid. Again, is it the only problem they have? No. But it's certainly something to figure out, because just like anemia can make you not heal and make you not think well and all that, if you have a thyroid metabolism or an autoimmune thyroid problem and you don't treat it, you're never really going to have enough energy to heal the rest of you. And that becomes a very, very important thing. So in the big picture, making sure there's not a dysfunctional problem in the world of the thyroid is very, very important as well. So and not knowing any more about this particular person, we can kind of stop there and say that that's where we would start. And we would look at the rest of the things. What does their digestive system look like? What's their diet been like? Do they have a lot of digestive complaints? There are some tests you can do to see if the balance of the flora, the good bacteria as well. How do they, how they respond to different types of food? Some people are, you know, sometimes eating things that are really, really inflammatory to their digestive system. They don't get a lot of real big problems from it, but it doesn't make them very healthy. So that'd be another place to look. And then there would be things looking into their sleep-wake cycles, other hormones. Other hormones that we often look at would be the adrenal hormones, which are known for helping control stress, helping control sleep-wake cycle, helping to control blood sugar and certain other things in the body. And the adrenal hormones, in the world of disease, there's only a small number of adrenal diseases. So almost never do we find an adrenal disease. If we do, of course, that's a big problem. But very commonly, what we will wind up finding is a dysfunctional adrenal system, because it's your stress hormone system. If you are sick or in pain for a long, long time, your stress hormone system, I guarantee you, has been overtaxed. And it's not that it needs to really be treated medically from that standpoint, but it needs to be supported. So this would be an area where you would take rest, you would take certain nutrients or other things that would help your body rebuild the system, and often that's a really key thing. The other thing to consider is if you look at the big ones, the big things here, so you don't have cancer or something bad, but if you have a mild to moderate anemia, you got a little borderline thyroid problem and a little borderline adrenal stress hormone problem, put them all together, they will take every bit of energy that you've ever had. So treating them together is better than separately. And that's one of the things we really try to do with people, is to put all that together and try, even if it's baby steps, to treat everything together so you heal as a unit. And sometimes one thing needs more help than the other, and that's certainly fine. Now, the next thing here comes up in this comment by a different patient who's been sick a little bit longer than these other ones. And so the comment is, Dr. Anderson, I've been ill for over 10 years, so now we're working on a little bit longer problem. I saw a rheumatologist, and rheumatologists originally were the people who would diagnose fibromyalgia, and now it's more in the realm of other specialties. The rheumatologist said, I have chronic fatigue syndrome. So remember, there's criteria for that. And they must fit those criteria, and that there's no good treatments for it. So you never want to hear that from your doctor, really, but you know, it's been, from their point of view, I think they're correct. they are treating my sleep with a drug called trazodone. Trazodone does help people sleep. And I'm on Lyrica for pain. Okay, we talked about Lyrica. That's one of those pain drugs to try and modulate nerve function. And I'm on Synthroid for my low thyroid, but I still don't feel any better. What's going on? So Synthroid is a thyroid hormone that one takes. It's the most commonly prescribed thyroid hormone in North America. And in many people, it works just fine. So in a patient like this, if they truly are on all these things and they really don't feel any better, they're probably being helped some. For instance, the trazodone might make them fall asleep at night, and the Lyrica may help lower their pain. And the Synthroid probably, if they took it away, they wouldn't feel as good as they even do now. But that doesn't take away from the fact that now I've got this person. They've got three treatments going in, and they're still sick. So this kind of dials back to all the same things we were looking at. If this person's been sick for 10 years, what we would often do would be to redo the primary labs and just make sure, because sometimes when you've been sick a long time, you'll become anemic and you weren't before. Or maybe because of the medications you're on, you might develop digestive insufficiency, so you're not absorbing your nutrients well and that sort of thing. So we might go back and look at those things, but we certainly then, when someone's on Synthroid for their thyroid, for instance, in people with chronic disease, the Synthroid often will start to metabolize over time in an inefficient manner. It's not that it's a bad drug. It's that just in chronic illness, sometimes the Synthroid doesn't get as far as it would in a less chronically ill patient. There's very straightforward ways to check for that. And we have some people where then we modulate their Synthroid dose and then rebalance them. But really what this all comes back down to is you have to step back, and whether you've been sick with fatigue or pain for a month or 6 months or 25 years, 30 years like we see, you have to take all these things into consideration. And one of the things as a follow-up to this particular section is every few weeks we're going to be talking about some of these big picture topics because they're so common. So every few weeks we're going to wind up having very specific discussions about why does the thyroid get off track like that and what can I do about it, or what are these stress hormones and why won't my doctor check them and why do they make me so sick, or what can I do about this chronic pain? What sort of other things are possible to do? What are these genetic sort of interventions you're talking about? That sounds scary to me. What's going on there? What about the immune system, and how would I know if I had a chronic infection or a chronic problem? So each time we get back together and each section that we go through, it won't be the last time we talk about it, because every big picture topic has a lot of little picture topics, and we'll go back into all of these. So in summary, certainly see a physician if you have fatigue and pain. Get the big picture things worked up. Make sure you don't have serious anemia, thyroid disease, cancer, or some other unfortunate diagnosis, but most of the time you won't. And then if you're not getting answers from the treatment that you're getting, or you feel that you're getting symptomatic treatment, we want to expand and find a physician who is going to look at the bigger picture, who is specifically experienced in treating chronic problems. As we've talked about in the past, the naturopathic physicians are trained to do this. This is the main part of their clinical experience and training. Also, functional medicine physicians are also trained to do this. And we can talk over time about places to locate these physicians as well. I'm Dr. Paul Anderson. It's been my pleasure to speak with you today on Medicine and Health. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Medicine and Health with your host, Dr. Paul Anderson. Visit the clinic website at www.amsa1.com or call the clinic at 206-629-2186.